Success is getting what you want. But happiness is wanting what you get. And I believe all of us are interested in happiness to some degree or another. If we were to take a list and put the top five things on that list that we want out of life, I'm sure within that five would be the word happy. And truly, when we go to God's Word, we understand how to be happy because God wants us to be that way, and He gives us the instructions by which we can enjoy happiness. But yet in the world in which we live, there are so many different and divergent ways in which people establish or think that happiness will come. Some believe that if you have enough money, then you'll truly be happy once you get that right amount. Maybe it's success or prestige or maybe any number of things that they say, well, you know, if I just get the house paid off or maybe catch up on the mortgage, maybe if I get the credit cards paid down after being maxed out or maybe get the kids' college, you know, just squared away, then I'll be happy. And yet that really doesn't bring the true contentment that the Bible establishes when Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. True happiness comes from within. And when one is right within, then they'll be able to exude and to really have the kind of happiness the Lord says will be a longevity. And yet when we think about the difference between the way the world defines success and happiness and the way that the Bible defines it, that is the principal word that I want us to discuss this morning, and that is the word discernment. The Bible is very clear when we go to it, when we find in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 14, that is the last verse of that fifth chapter, this subject brought out very clearly. The Hebrew writer identifies that there is solid food that a Christian must dine upon. That must be their consumption. That must be our ingestion so that we can be strengthened to live from day to day, so that we can meet the world around us and understand the devil is trying to get us so that we can be strengthened to keep him fought off. And the Hebrew writer said solid food belongs to those who are full age. And therefore we understand that there is a sense of maturity that Christians must always focus on. We can't be satisfied with the status quo. We can't be satisfied, well, I haven't digressed, but I haven't improved. I'm just right here. No, we can't be satisfied with that. When we drink and we consume the Word of God, that will bring about growth. And it'll bring us to that full age that we can be useful to the people around us and be a benefit to the God that created us. And yet in this passage he says that solid food belongs to those that are full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised so that they can then tell the difference, that is, to discern both good and evil. I'm convinced that discernment is one of the most important things for 21st century Christians that exist. Because we live in a world that seems to take the good and the evil and bring them ever so close together to the point that people can't recognize what is right and what is wrong any longer. It's just a part of one big conglomerate. The Bible is different in that regard. The Bible tells us that we must recognize the difference between that which is good, that which is evil, that which is wrong, that which is right, that which is profitable, that which is unprofitable, and most of all, that which is godly versus that which is ungodly. Now, to begin with, we define what we're talking about. And we think, well, what does the word discernment or discern mean? Well, it has to do with the ability to decide between truth and error, right and wrong. I ask, does everyone here this morning have that ability? I mean, that ability that has been sharpened to a razor's edge. Also, it has to do with the process of making careful distinctions in our thinking about truth. It's not a nebulous, kind of passive, status quo existence. It is something that is marked by, well, engagement and aggression. It's something that in which we have put our mind and our heart in gear and we're moving full speed ahead for God. It also has to do with the ability to think biblically. Now, you survey the world around us, and do you think everyone in our world right now is thinking biblically? Well, unfortunately, we would have to answer that question with a negative. And yet, what is needed in our world? Great and good examples of Christ-like lives that can be followed all the way, folks, and I say all the way to heaven. You see, that's the word discernment. And I believe that you will agree with me, that is a great need in our world and among God's people today. And I take you this morning to a passage that I believe is very beneficial. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1, or Psalm 1, and we'll notice some things there that I believe will help us to sharpen our discernment so that we can be that prime and that great example to carry on and not in pride or arrogance provide an example for those around us, but in humility and sincerity offer the influence this world truly, truly needs to be better. You see, Psalm chapter 1, or Psalm 1, is a beautiful psalm because it begins with that wonderful word. And I want you to notice that word. It begins with that word, blessed. We talked about happiness versus success just a moment ago. You see, the word blessed or blessed actually means, in its purest form, happy or successful. It's talking about what God approves. And, you know, God doesn't approve of everything, but that which God approves, those are the things that must be near and dear to our heart. So he begins by saying, blessed, or happy is the man. The word man there is not male. It's not gender specific. It's talking about mankind. Happy is the individual. And then we see, truly, happiness is something of which we want and we desire, so we strive after it every single day. And yet the Bible gives us the perfect prescription by which we could attain it and live in it from here until eternity. What are we talking about here? Well, first and foremost, we recognize that this kind of lifestyle, this wonderful lifestyle, has to do with three things. Number one, we'll talk about the godly. Number two, we'll talk about the godless. And number three, we'll talk about that action of godliness. And then the lesson will be yours. We begin by thinking about this most important thing, about the contrast. What do happy people, that is, successful people that exercise discernment, what do they do and what do they not do? So we got a good do and don't list in front of us. Notice the text in verses 1 and 2. Happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Let's first of all talk about what the successful individual, that is, the discerning individual, does not do. I'm just not talking about, well, we won't do it this time, but we'll consider it next time. We'll just take the circumstances as they come and we'll decide then. No, this is an establishment in the life of the godly that these things are wrong and I will not in any way, form, or fashion ever engage. That decision is made when we resurrect out of the watery grave of baptism. We're now a Christian, and we're on a different path. Well, what are we talking about? First of all, the godly, that is the discerning individual, does not listen to what the crowd says. You know, if you follow the crowd, it's kind of like the blind that lead the blind. Both will wind up falling into a chasm. And yet here, he says, the discerning individual does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, folks, if left to the world, what will the counsel be that we receive from ungodly sources? If we seek the counsel of someone that is ungodly, let me ask you, what kind of counsel will you receive? Well, that's a simple one, isn't it? That's a no-brainer. We'll receive ungodly counsel. Someone might say, well, if you're unhappy in your marriage and you're not necessarily concerned about what God has to say, then you just terminate that marriage regardless of anything. You do what you want to, and then you'll be happy. An unwanted pregnancy, and God's word is not taken into consideration, but the counsel of ungodly sources is sought. What will the result be? Terminate that and live your life. Even when we look at various things about temptation, people often hear the counsel, do what you want, just don't get caught. And folks, what kind of counsel is that? Well, that is ungodly counsel. But you see, the person that has and exercises discernment will not listen to what the crowd has to say. Well, you know, oftentimes people are told your happiness comes first. You must just look out for yourself and let the other guy worry about himself. And yet that places us in a situation that is never profitable, never beneficial. It's not exercising discernment. And yet here, the one that exercises this godly principle of discernment, recognizing the difference between right and wrong, good and evil, that which is godly and that which is ungodly, will not listen to the counsel or what the crowd has to say. But there's a second thing in this passage. Going a little further and notice what he says secondly. He says, not only who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners. You know, folks, most of all, it seems, I'll be honest with you, there are times when I have taken the path of least resistance. You know, just the easy path. On the farm, those of you that have ever been around an agricultural setting will recognize that the cows, when going down to the creek or down to where the water is located, will always beat out a path that is the path of least resistance. You can follow that path and you can just, you can make it up a hill without any effort whatsoever. It seems that that is very, very much the way that a lot of people in this world, they live. But yet, the person that recognizes discernment and exercises that on a godly level, well, they're not going to do what the crowd does. They will follow the path that God has set down. The words of Jesus in Matthew 7, 13 and 14 describe both a narrow and a broad way. The narrow, somewhat more difficult to travel. The broad way, simple, easy, comfortable, and many, it seems, are traveling that way. But yet, when this broad way finds its destination, as easy as it might be to travel, it narrows down into everlasting destruction. While the narrow path, while it might have more difficulty and a greater sense of striving to follow that path, when it reaches its destination, it broadens out into everlasting life. See, folks, it's the path that we're traveling, and that makes all the difference. Robert Frost, he said, two roads diverged into a wood, and I chose the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. We understand that discernment is very important because, number two, those that exercise it do not do what the crowd does. But there is a third thing here in this passage, and notice this. The psalmist says, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. The discerning individual does not go where the crowd goes, doesn't sit in those seats where the scornful, well, where they sit. Growing up, I remember hearing on radio and television one that I would label as scornful. I don't know where he's at today or what he's doing, but I remember Howard Stern being one that offered a scornful commentary, it seemed, on everything. The word scornful means to make fun or belittle those things that are good, right, and true. The person that is exercising discernment, you see, they're the one that will take a look at the world as it is and understand that God's way is the only right way, and that's the way they will follow, and they will not go or sit or commune with those that are of a scornful nature. Why? Folks, it could rub off on us. Well, that's the first. There's the don'ts, but now let's look at the do. When we think about that, then in verse number 2, notice he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate day and night. What's that communicating? Godly living in the law of the Lord. It's on his mind from day and from night. He's meditated upon it. It's guiding His way and determining His steps. He understands that it is the force by which guides him in the right way, and he will always, or she will always, adhere to it. And it's not necessarily talking about that you got your nose in the Bible 24/7. It's talking about the fact that you have internalized God's Word so that it becomes the guiding force in everything that you do, everything that you say, everything that you think. And folks, that's the kind of guiding light that all of us need. You know, because there is so much that will try to stray us away. You know, there's so many people that set their mind on things that just don't bring about any profit whatsoever. Did you hear about the guy? He bought a box of very expensive cigars. He took it to his insurance company and got them to insure the cigars against fire, and they did it. Once the policy was written and confirmed, he took the box of cigars home, he smoked them all, and then he filed a claim for them being burned up. Well, the insurance company said, there ain't no way we're going to pay that, so he took them to court, and the judge said, hey, you were crazy enough to insure him, now you've got to pay the claim. They wrote him a check, handed it to him, and as soon as he cashed it, they had him arrested for arson. Well, you know, when I think about that, I think, man, that is crazy. That is, what kind of mind would sit around? I don't think I could come up with that kind of scheme in 1,000 lifetimes. But imagine if that mind was put to work on something that was good and right and true. And yet some people, they set their mind to things that are unprofitable, that are just useless, that are ungodly. The person that exercises discernment, they meditate upon the law of God. And it's with them in the daytime, and it's with them in the nighttime. Now folks, that's what we see here when we talk about this godly individual. But then he moves on, and he notices, and I want you to notice a comparison. Go down to verse number 3 and notice. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. That's how I want to live. That's the success and the happiness that I want, and I want for you. It's in following the Word and the will of God. We might not be a billionaire. We might not be at the top of the heap when it comes to corporation. We might not be on the top rung when it comes to the political or the civil or the social calendar. But folks, when it comes to eternity, we will hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on into heaven." And that will be worth it all. Discernment. Oh, how it is needed in every area of our life. Secondly, I want you to notice here, not only does he talk about the godly, but quickly I want you to notice the godless. Here the godless talks about the wicked. And I want you to begin with me in verse number 4 and notice here as we go down to the end of the chapter, that is the end of the psalm, he says, "The ungodly are not so." He said, "But are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in this judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous, and the way of the ungodly shall perish." What does that tell us? Well, first of all, we recognize that what we're dealing with is the fact that the wicked, they're like the chaff blown away by the wind. He uses an agricultural illustration. You take wheat or barley, maybe beans that have been grown, they've borne fruit, they've been gathered, and now you're ready to get the content. You're ready to get the meat out of the center. You're wanting that which is profitable. So they put it on the threshing floor and they beat the husk or the hulls. The bean or the wheat or the body, whatever, it opens up and there reveals that which is profitable on the inside. And then they would either take a threshing fan or allow the wind to blow, and it would blow all away that old husk. We'd say the peeling. You know, that old dried, worthless stuff. And it's now gone. And what is left is that which is useful and beneficial. and ready for consumption. Think about the ungodly. They like that old useless stuff that you just brush away, that you put in the garbage and you set out for the elements. Now that's the ungodly in this description. And tossed about to and fro, you can pull their strings and just direct them any way whatsoever. They blow by every wind that comes along. Well, then second, he says, the wicked will not stand. When he talks about stand, that means to be able to stand in relationship to how you've lived. When it comes to the day of judgment, don't you want to be able to stand there before the judgment seat of Christ and to be able, with your head held high, not in arrogance or in pride, sinful pride, but with your head held high because you have followed and lived within the promises of God, and He gives approval to the manner in which you have lived, and you're ushered into the glorious reward of eternity. Folks, that's to be able to stand and stand right with God. But the wicked cannot stand that way. There's no stability in life, and so therefore there'll be no blessing in eternity. It will only be wickedness and wicked punishment. But then thirdly, notice in the last place, he says, the ungodly shall perish. Perish. Oh, that's a terrible word. That is a final word. That's a scary word. They shall perish. Oh, I don't want to perish. I want to live. I don't want to perish. I want to blossom. I don't want to perish. I want to reap all the good things. But folks, not the ungodly. None of that will be a part of their life. But now thirdly, I want you to notice he's talked about the godly. He's talked about the ungodly. But number three, I want you to notice about godliness. And when you think about godliness, there is something the Lord, according to this passage, there is something the Lord knows. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord is attentive. He is responsive. The Lord is there with the way that the righteous are going because they're going His way. Folks, if I'm going to go through this life, we better want to go the way the Lord wants us to go, because if we don't, it will be destruction and damnation. You see, this is discernment. I recognize the difference between. Now, quickly, as we close the lesson this morning, I want you to go back with me to the book of Hebrews where we started. Please go back to Hebrews and notice here these things that will help us strengthen our discernment. I know what it is. I know what it's like. Now, how can I be a strong, discerning Christian? Well, we go back to Hebrews, and I want you to notice, beginning with me, in Hebrews chapter 2, in verses 1 and 2. Here is the first principle. Now, notice what the Hebrew writer says. He's talking about here that we must give the more earnest heed to what we have heard, because if we don't, we'll slip away and we'll suffer neglect. Begin with me in verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know, folks, he's talking about the fact that we give our attentive ear, our attentive mind, our attentive eye, our attentive will to God's word, because if we don't, we'll subtly and slowly drift out into that which is ungodly. And we will be then guilty of neglect of His great salvation. So I'm going to spend my day and my night in meditation of His Word. Right now, in our world, you see, there's a new generation that has come along. Not the baby boomers or the Generation X or the millennials. The new buzzword is the Generation Z. And the thing that is really, really going on among the Generation Z, it's my kids and below. That's Generation Z. Generation Z is spending so much time, and I'm not criticizing, I'm simply just stating a fact. Generation Z is spending so much time looking at screens, whether it be a television, a laptop, a tablet, or a cell phone, or whatever has a screen, spending so much time looking at screens that they're becoming reclusive, they're experiencing depression, and right now, in our world, it's sad to say that the suicide rate has never exceeded that which we're seeing right now among Generation Z. You know, there's times in our lives that we need to give our screens a break, to unplug from the electronic society. Let's spend more time in the book than a MacBook. Let's spend more time in the book than a notebook. Spending time in the molding and forming shape of God's Word so that we can truly not slip away or not experience neglect. Okay, that's the first thing. Secondly, I want you to notice in chapter 3, 12 and 13, quickly. In chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, notice what he says here. Beware, brethren. I went by a house just the other day and I was getting ready to go up and knock on the door and hand an invitation to come to our assembly, and I noticed right over to the side, beware of, now many times you see beware of the dog, or beware of dog, this said beware of the dog. And I said, I guess there's many dogs, but there is one dog that I really need to run from. As soon as I saw that sign, I looked around and, well, folks, I'll be honest with you, I moved on to the next house, okay? That word is warning, isn't it? Notice what he says here. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Don't let it be, he says. But exhort one another daily, what it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Folks, we need to make sure that we're giving and we're receiving exhortation, that is encouragement, lest we slip off or we digress into the area of the deceitfulness of sin. How are you doing? How's your prayer life? Are you studying God's Word? Let's do it together. Let's get together and have a good Bible study together, be an encouragement to one another, and build each other up so that we can be the kind of example this world needs. That's discernment. And then thirdly, go over to chapter 5, beginning in verse number 11. The problem that existed among these brethren, notice the last three words of verse number 11. Dull of hearing. You know what it means to become dull of hearing? Well, it's not talking about age or attrition. It's talking about when someone just simply sticks their fingers in their ears and said, I'm not going to listen to it anymore. And they were suffering because of it. Because you see in verse number 12 it says, For though by this time, you've had enough time, he said. By this time, you ought to be teachers. He said, but you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. By this time, you've had plenty of time to be a teacher, but you're not. You're all the way back there in spiritual kindergarten. He goes on to say, and you have become need of milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Strengthened by strong meat and exercising. Well, lest we digress from not paying attention. If we want to exercise physically, we have to fuel our body with the right sustenance to make improvements. And folks, in an infinitely greater manner, if we want to exercise our soul spiritually, we've got to fill our soul with that spiritual food that will strengthen us so that we can run the marathon and make it all the way to heaven. Discernment. And yet what we're talking about is this. Godliness is knowing God's will, and folks, it's doing it. Do you know God's will to the point that you can put it into application without hesitation or reservation? Do you possess the knowledge that you can live in a world of temptation and allurement and to resist all of those things the devil throws at you and be successful for the Lord? Do you need to grow? I'm sure that in everybody's life, you can say, as I can say, there is room for improvement. And if that's your need this morning, I'm not what I need to be or what I ought to be, but with the help of the Lord above, then I will be what He wants me to be. To be able to discern between that which is good and that which is evil. And I close with this. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, in verse number 10, listen carefully. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things that we have done in this body, whatever we have done, whether it be good or evil. Now, folks, since discernment is going to be so important on the day of judgment, should it not be important to us today? If you would respond to the invitation this morning by putting on Christ in baptism, by exercising a living faith, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, that you would do that and see the urgency. Do you need to come back to the Lord and renew your life, rededicate your existence? And this morning, what a wonderful opportunity and what a grand time we have. A song has been selected, and it will be sung. And if we can encourage you in any way to come forward and make things right in God's sight, we want to do that. And do that as together we stand and as we sing.